You act just like your father. I can see your mother in you there. You guys are two peas in a pod, are just some cliches that are used in our culture today to describe some of our behaviors, some of our action, especially those that we're related to or those people we hang out with. How much influence do those around you actually have on you? Your habits, your behaviors. I know my sons may not admit it now, but I can see some of the things that they do. They inherited being with me and Janice as we were raised, some of the habits and behaviors they have. Mostly good, some maybe not so good. We are definitely shaped, especially at an early age, and influenced by those around us as we develop and take on a lot of those behaviors, sometimes good, sometimes bad. My name is Wayne Eddingfield, and I serve here on the Life Squad and also help teach the class series. And thank you for joining our podcast today. Today we're going to be looking at four letters that Paul wrote, and Paul was described in depth last week by Jeff. He wrote a lot of the epistles, a lot of the New Testament. And these four letters we're looking at today, he wrote to Timothy, to Titus, and to Philemon, two of which were his younger proteges, and one person was a member of a church that he was writing to that he would have some grace and mercy to, a former friend. This is what we're looking at today. Some call these, one of these letters, pastoral letters or letters that help people develop church leaders and such. So today we're going to dive in. We're going to look at, first of all, the first book of Timothy. Timothy was a young man who followed and was with Paul for some extension time. At this time, was out into a church and actually was one of the leaders of the church at this time. Timothy was influenced by godly people in his life. His mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois both are mentioned in the Bible of influencing him. And since Timothy had become like Paul's protege, Paul wanted to make sure that Timothy was getting encouragement that he needed, some instruction in ministry and how to lead a church at Ephesus. Timothy, he knew, would encounter some resistance in this church. There were false teachings going on at the time, the church. Timothy, being a younger, less experienced apostle than Paul, Paul wanted to make sure and check in with Timothy and make sure he had the right instructions and make sure he was encouraged to continue in this church, to develop the church. See, Timothy was no longer in his comfort zone, home with his mom and his grandmother or close to Paul. He was surrounded by lots of, where he was surrounded by elders, so to speak. He probably had become a church leader at Ephesus at this time. So Paul knew it was important that Timothy get instruction, encouragement to carry on, to establish and make sure the church was running the way it should be run. Have you ever been in a situation similar to Timothy's, where you needed some encouragement, some guidance in ministry? Where did it come from? Do you have someone right now that could write you a letter or to give you a call or to come and to sit down and talk with you that would support you? And that's why we feel it's so important that we be involved in life groups and ministry groups here at GNG, to have those support groups in this time, because we all are going to face what Timothy was facing, a situation where maybe we needed encouragement or someone to support us. See, in his first book here, Paul warns Timothy in verses 4 and 12, there's going to be some false teachers that are going to come up in the church. He says, the Spirit clearly says that in the latter times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits, and these things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars, those conscience have been seared as with a hot iron. Later on in verse 6 of chapter 4, he goes on to say, if you point these things out, brother and sisters, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished of truths of faith and of good teaching that you have followed. So Paul is telling him here, hey, listen, these things are going to come up, but if you point these things out, if you do the right thing, you're going to be a good minister of Christ Jesus. He says, you can do this. You can continue to do this. You can strive and do the right thing. These good teachings that go around and follow will help them in the times of need and ministry. And that's what he's telling Timothy. Do the right thing. Are we doing the same thing? If Paul was to write us a letter today, what would that letter say to you? when he say these things, be strong, be courageous. These things are going to come up, but do the right thing, he's saying. He wanted Timothy to gain strength and truth and encouragement through this. And we, you and I, need to do the same thing. Allow God to move in the midst of our lives to make sure the church continues, because we are responsible for making sure that the church stays strong for the next generation to continue to influence people in a positive way, as Paul was trying to tell Timothy here, knowing that Timothy was going to need this instruction, was going to need this encouragement. I'm not saying that you and I will all be bold like Paul. Paul knew exactly what was going to happen in his life. He probably knew his life would come to an end sometime. And there was so much opposition. But no matter what, Paul was forging forward. He was so strong and bold. But you and I, in our own situation, our own time, can do the same thing. We can be that light to someone. We can be that encouragement to someone. And to make sure that the gospel is being spread and that the good news is given. One of my favorite scriptures in Timothy comes from chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And actually, you can find part of this verse in one of our children's areas over there in the New Edition. He says, commanded and teach these things. He says, do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech and conduct. And then he says, in love and in faith and in purity. So we all can take encouragement. We don't have to be a young person age. Maybe we're a young person in our faith. Paul says, don't let anybody look down upon you. Be an example to believers in the way you speak and in your conduct. To be an example in love and in faith and in purity. This is powerful for all of us. And I think it's a good thing for us to teach, especially to make sure our young people are getting, which we're seeing over here in our Kids Connection and Fuse and with the high school and junior high students, to make sure they have a leg up on in the world, so to speak, that they can set that example for those around them, because we need those examples in this world today. Paul goes on to encourage Timothy and the church to continue in the word. He says, devote yourselves to the reading of the scripture and public and preaching and teaching. He says, don't just do it in private. He says, go out there and do it in public. Be an example for those around you, because they're going to need your example to understand what it is to be a Christian, to be a Christ follower. I hope that we all can do the same thing. Be an example, not just in private, but out in the public when we go, that we can be that example. And it's such a simple message, however, and a simple thing to do. As Paul stated in Timothy, and just to be grounded in Jesus and teach the things and be faithful in promoting Jesus and promote His love and His grace and His mercy. This brings unity, not division, as starting in the church. So to speak, it says the gospel will grow better in peace and truth in the Bible. Let me say it again. The gospel grows better in peace and truth when it's in the Bible. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to him, the second letter to Timothy. This time, Paul is back in prison. Paul is going to be put on trial. And Paul knows at this point in his life, he's probably not going to survive. He probably knows the end is near. He needs Timothy to come to him while he's in prison to learn more. Paul wants to make sure Timothy and others around close to him would come and listen so he could give them the last and final instruction. This is kind of like Paul's famous last words. I want you to get this. It's very important that you guys get this. If the church is going to continue to grow, if the church is going to survive, you guys need to get these final instructions. I've often thought, what would be our final instructions to somebody? If we were in that position, what would we say? What would be important to us if we were to write our famous last words? Well, some of the famous last words that people have given in this nation of ours is one time Ben Franklin said it in his deathbed, a dying man can do nothing easily. Bob Marley, a singer, once said, money can't buy life. He came to understand that at a point in his life. No matter how much money I have, it's not going to buy life. And Anne Frank, which many of you have studied and read about, says this, no one has ever become poor from giving. no one has ever become poor by giving. What would be our instructions in our final, the last will and testament, so to speak? And this is what Paul is doing. I want to make sure we understand this. He's in prison, knowing that his life may come to an end, going to be put on trial. And here's the thing. Paul is not dying in a hospital or from an accident or disease. But Paul is being put on trial for being a Christian, for promoting the gospel of Jesus Christ, for taking a stand and doing what God's called him to do. Think about this. He's dying not because of something that happened in an accident or whatever it may be, a disease, whatever, or old age. He's dying for spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And in his last days, think about this, Paul was in a cold, dark, damp prison cell, probably in a cave. But his thought was not in the situation of being in prison, being cold probably, being in a damp, dark place. He was thinking about the good news of Jesus Christ, how it needed to be spread, how it needed to be promoted. His thoughts were still on God and his call to God and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to make sure the churches were established. They continue to spread the good news even while he was in prison, like I said, in this cold, dark, damp cell, probably in a cave, no friends, nobody around him, but his thoughts were still on making sure the churches were established, to making sure Timothy and others come to him to get final instructions, to make sure that the church stayed strong and continued to grow. Now, I often think sometimes I start to complain that I just don't have the time to do this, I don't have the time to do that. Or maybe I'd rather do this than to go visit, or maybe I want to do that. And I think of Paul in his situation, and it gives me courage, and I hope it does you too. Encouragement to do the right thing, to make sure the church is established, that it's a priority in our lives, not just something we think about and we try to fit into our schedule. Paul was in the midst of writing these words and telling Timothy, stay focused on your call. I love the way he opens 2 Timothy. Paul says this by the letter by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. See, Paul understood it was the promise of life. He knew that what he was going through brought the promise of life because he was following God's calling and preaching the gospel, the good news, to everyone he see. See, I can almost sense the pride in Paul's voice here saying, calling himself, I, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. He's not ashamed of what he did or what he said. He's not backing down. He's saying, this is what I've been called to do. This is what I stand for. He's wanting to encourage Timothy and others, and he's going to encourage us today, almost 2,000 years later, by what he said and did, by saying, I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is what I stand for. I'm not backing down because I know this is the truth. I know this is the power and this is the promise of life. What do you and I say to others in those positions? What words would you have to give to someone in this midst of this situation he was in? Paul goes on to say in verses 6 and 7, the first chapter, therefore remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what does he say? God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Paul says, I don't have a spirit of fear. I'm not going to be afraid in this situation. But God has given me a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Because Paul knew he was right. He's saying to Timothy and others, come up here, get encouraged, get these instructions. The question is, what do words of wisdom do we want to leave around those? When it's all said and done, what do I want my sons to remember of me? Do I want my children and grandchildren to look up and say he was a good Christian man, or do I want them to think of me some other way? That decision is up to you and I. What would be our closing statement, our position? Would we stand firm and have the boldness that Paul had? And if we can't answer that, then how do we get to that point? How do we get to the point where we make sure that we have that boldness, that faith, to stand strong no matter what we're facing in life? To give encouragement in the midst of everything that we're going through. Paul one of them says, get here quickly. Get here before winter. Because I want to make sure that you guys get this instruction. He was so excited and said, get here. I know my time is limited. But let's come. And let's talk. And the third letter we're going to talk about today, and Titus was another man. Paul was writing to give words of encouragement, organization. And think of it this way. If you were hired to organize a church, to organize a company, or to organize something, how effective would you be? How organized is your life right now? How organized is your garage or your shop or your car? More importantly, how organized is your spiritual life at this time? Are there times of daily prayer and study and fellowship, witnessing to those around you? In this book to Titus, another of Paul's, I said, kind of his protege, he's stressing to him how to organize the church, how to get elders and how to set the good example for what the church should be seeing and should be. Not only in church, but also, he's saying, out of church. Paul wanted Titus to have all this laid out and be ready to implement it. As we just stated a minute ago, Paul knew what was coming, and he wanted Titus to step up and be that leader that he needed to be in the church when he was gone. Because he knew that leaders in the church would have to be established, good leaders that would set good examples. And it's the same no matter whether it's in church, your business, or your family. We need good, strong leaders. If there's a void in that church leadership, or if there's a void in your business in the leadership, your family, we know what happens to it. It tends to become weaker. So Paul knew that they were going to need good leaders, good and elders, so to speak, good examples in the church. But if not, it would spiral out of control and false teachings would creep back in. This letter is still today is used by churches as set up as leaderships and organized to make sure that there's a contingency plan in case there is a void in the leadership, in case someone steps down. And many of you have witnessed this and seen this in churches and businesses. When someone steps down, or the pastor leaves, or the CEO, whoever it may be, the leader of the company steps down, if that leadership role is not filled immediately, what happens? Titus was sent by Paul to organize the church at the island of Crete. He's saying, make sure, Titus, that you set up and get the leadership in order. Make sure that the people that are running, organizing church are good, solid people that are living the right life, not only in church but out of church, having faith with strong convictions. Make sure there's no vacuum left in the leadership. Make sure it's established, Titus. This is your call. This is your job. This is your task to do so. To make sure the right leadership is set up at the right time and the right place. There's not a void. It's imperative that the early church establish great leaders. Not only here in the island of Crete, but Paul saying in all the churches, make sure that the leadership is established, because he knows without good leadership in the churches, what will happen to the churches. You and I know, whether it be a church or a company or a corporation, just doesn't survive. But here's the thing. Titus was willing to rise to this challenge. The challenge of establishing the church, maintaining it. Not always being popular, having to make new friends, battling those that opposed the church. He knew there was going to be false teaching. The church line in Crete lacked leadership. But here's the thing. Titus says, that's fine. I'll accept the challenge. It's up to me to make sure it's established and develop sound leadership in the church to bring stability. It's the same thing that factors in all churches and businesses and families today. to make sure it's biblically based leadership, that there's no lack or no void in the leadership, to make sure good, solid people are there. Titus says, I'm willing to do this. I'll step up. I'll accept the challenge. And what I want to share with you today is, if you are put in that position today, are you willing to accept that challenge? Maybe in 2018, there'll be a chance for you to step up in leadership, in a ministry, or at work, or in your family. Are you willing to accept that challenge? Have we studied enough of the Word and prayed enough to be able to accept that? And maybe you're in a leadership position, and maybe God will call you even to something even greater next year. Because the study of the Bible through this year and spending time in prayer should cause us to want to step up to be the leaders, as Paul was writing to Titus, that he needed Titus to be. And it may not be over a church. Simply, again, it may be where you work or in your family or in a ministry, to accept that challenge, to be the leader that he needs us to be, like Titus was. Are we willing to do that in our lives? The last letter we're going to look at today was a short letter to Philemon, who deals with a story of grace and mercy and forgiveness. Philemon was a friend of Paul's and a member of the church at Colossus. He had a slave at this time, and the slave Onesimus had wronged him in some way, and most scholars would say probably stole or took something from him. But he ends up in Rome, where Paul is. He leaves Philemon, goes to Rome, and meets Paul. So this slave who goes to Rome runs into Paul, Onesimus, and ends up being converted, ends up having faith in Christ. And Paul falls in love with this guy because apparently he had such a deep faith and changed so much from stealing and taking and running away to being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. So Paul was writing to him and saying, listen, I want you to think about this man. I want you to think about this former slave. He's going to come back to you. I know he probably should stay with me, but it's best I send him back to you to help you out where you're at. So, think about it. This was not a coincidence. God sends him to Paul because he knew Paul would have a way of evangelizing him and witnessing to him, and he accepts Christ and becomes a strong follower. Paul says in the letter in verses 15 and 16, says, perhaps, Philemon, the reason he was separated from you for a little while, think about this, people, was that you might have him back forever. To me, this is astounding. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, he says, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. Think about this. He's saying maybe he was separated you for a while for this reason. He's not coming back to you as a slave. He's coming back to you as a fellow believer, as a brother in Christ. He says you need to accept him. You need to accept him and take him back because he's going to help you where you're at. He's a strong believer. See, here's the great news for all of us, is that we are all equal. When you and I become followers of Christ, that status of Christian transcends anything that you and I can have here on this earth. It doesn't matter what the title is before your name or what the title was after your name. We all are one in Christ Jesus. God sees each and every one of us the same. And maybe you're out there right now and you're listening to the podcast and you struggle a little bit. And maybe you're going through something. We're here to tell you the cross levels the playing field. God sees each and every one of us the same. And maybe you need that word of encouragement in your life today to know that God loves you just as much as anyone. And that's what was happening here. Paul's telling him, accept him. He is now an equal with us. He's become a Christ follower. He is now your brother. Think about that. When we accept Christ Jesus, We are joint heirs with him, with Jesus. Think of it. The word tells us that. We're all the same. You and I. Level playing field. It's my prayer and hope that each of us listening to this would be encouraged by Paul's letter to him as he goes back to meet Philemon. His status was changed forever. And it says, you've gained a brother forever. That's the great news for you and I. It's not just, when we're Christians, it's not just the time we have here on earth, because this is a short time. It's forever, for eternity. Think about that. As you read through the book of Philemon, that you and I, the great things we have. The walls are torn down. Whatever was put up by society or put up by the world, the moment we accept Christ, walls come down. Relationships can be mended. Christ can work through the midst of everything to make sure that we know that we're loved and we're cherished and we belong to him. And in closing, I would like to mention one more scripture that comes from these books. It comes from 2 Timothy 3:16. And we've put a lot of emphasis this year at Good News Gathering on reading the scripture and the authority that comes through the Bible. The Bible is the inspired word of God. That's where we stand. It's not some fable. It's not some campfire tradition that's been passed down. It is the word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, if you've read through this already, it says this: all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Think about that. Every scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, correcting, training, and here's the key, in righteousness. So that the servant of God may be thoroughly, here it is, thoroughly equipped. Because if we're not thoroughly equipped, there's a weakness. It's like that leadership that didn't get filled. There becomes a void in that, in our lives. To be thoroughly equipped for every good work. That we're equipped to do everything in an instant. No matter where it's at. If it's at work, at Walmart, wherever it may be, we are equipped to the challenge. We studied through the Bible this year, and we're coming to a close, and it's amazing. And think about, we're going to be reading through the entire Bible here in just a few weeks. I've finished it. I want to ask you this question. Are you better equipped today than you were a year ago? Do you have more knowledge? Do you have a better understanding? Do you feel like now you can go out and share and have more boldness in your life? That your biblical foundation is stronger? Because you and I both know that we live in a world that's being attacked. The Bible is being attacked. The very core of what we believe in is being attacked. And it's almost like if they can prove to people that the Bible isn't the Word of God, then it makes everything kind of open for everybody. But you and I know that's not the truth. We know that the Word of God is the Word of God. It is God-breathed. And we stand upon what the Word says. Our biblical foundation should be stronger now. We should be better equipped and to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I thank you for studying the Word this year and reading that Bible. It's our hope and prayer here at GNG that we all, not only as individuals, as a church, we are better equipped in 2018 in the Word and in power and might to do the things He's called us to do. And we'll see lives change for the kingdom. Thank you for listening. May God bless and keep you throughout. Amen. Until we meet again, think biblically, think logically, and think honestly. God bless.